The Source Podcast is brought to you by TechPont, a San Antonio company that uses cutting-edge digital technology to elevate marketing and advertising campaigns while reporting on transparent, measurable results. Their custom-built marketing strategies offer complete digital solutions and management. TechPont strives to help businesses connect with customers and effectively grow businesses. More at TechPonte.com.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. San Antonio's construction industry is booming, but things could be better if they could find the qualified people that they need to do the work. For years, the construction industry has suffered from a nationwide labor shortage, even though our unemployment rates dwindled to a record low of 3.7% in Texas, even lower here in San Antonio at 2.6%. That means skilled workers, journeymen, professional trade workers are in high demand, and they are tough to find when it comes to starting a new construction project. What does this labor shortage mean for the overall economy? How is the shortage affecting housing availability and cost? There's lots of ways for you to join our conversation this afternoon. Call in at 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. We're joined with Doug McMurray. He is the Executive Vice President of the San Antonio Chapter of the Associated General Contractors. Doug, welcome to The Source.
Thanks for having us.
Jeff Buell's here. He is the President of the Greater San Antonio Builders Association and co-founder of Sitterly Homes.
Thank you.
Sorry about that. Sitterly Homes. All right. So let's go to you, Jeff, first off, and tell me what is the picture look like? What is the snapshot of labor in San Antonio for your business?
We're busy. There's a tremendous number of jobs going on, homes being put up. The housing market is quite strong right now. We've had a really good start to the year, so very busy.
And are you, if there, someone shows up and they know what they're doing and they can find a job?
You're hired. Yeah, there is a need for people in the industry. What it's done is cause for longer build times. So you're going to find a house that used to take, say, 4 or 5 months to build is now taking 6 or 7 months to build.
And that's money.
It is. It is. It's money. It's interest expense for sure that gets added on to the cost of the construction, but also time.
Yeah, and time. Doug McMurray, where are all the workers?
Yeah, they're busy. We've got a number of commercial contractors that are turning down work because profitable work because they can't find the labor to build the project. So from the commercial side, about 78% of Texas commercial construction firms are having trouble finding craft positions, and another half or 50% are having a hard time filling salaried positions, project managers, estimators, safety professionals, and so forth. So it's an important issue, and it's one that we've been working on. I think part of the solution is to raise the awareness and to talk about some of the great job opportunities in the industry, doing it through this show, thank you, and also through career fairs and also through a website called Texas Construction Careers.
I want to ask you about something else really quick. There's a bunch of other issues related to what's happening in the construction industry. Maybe you can give me some feedback on this. This thing with the plumbing stuff with the legislature.
We're all plumbers now.
Yeah, I've never been very good at that. You know, there are people who know how to, you know, plumb, and there are people who were just sort of make do by it. How big of a deal is this, Doug? The legislature, sort of the whole idea of a state certification of plumbing went away.
It was the Sunset Bill. It was an unfortunate thing to occur. There is precedent for it. I think years ago something similar happened with the dentists. Now, anecdotally, I'll tell you, just this morning I had a plumbing issue at home, and I started to think about this in a more serious way. I do think in the short term we're going to have to do some things differently. I understand the governor's office is very aware of the situation, and I think they're going to try to promulgate some rules in the short term that I think may make things a little bit better. And I'm sure Jeff has got some additional insight as well.
Sure, because, you know, there's plumbers that I need to help me when I'm in a crisis mode at my house,
right.
and I need someone that I can trust and who's not going to flee and, you know, only do a patchwork job, who's going to be around for a long time. But then there's y'all, you're building neighborhoods and you need all that stuff done right the first time. So is that a concern for you, Jeff?
Certainly a concern. We want to make sure we're using plumbers that, are licensed, or at least, I guess if there's not a licensing requirement anymore, at least we want to make sure that we know that they know what they're doing. One of the problems, though, in the plumbing industry and other industries, electrical, air conditioning, is the lack of people that have the licenses and then the age of those that have the license. So the average age of a licensed plumber is somewhere in the 60s. That's pretty old for the average.
That's pretty old for crawling underneath someone's house looking for leaks and things.
Exactly. And so what you have to have in the plumbing industry as it was before the law sunsetted was you had to have a licensed plumber on the job. That might be a little onerous. Now, it might be that they create a new system where the licensed plumber comes and inspects the job that was done, but doesn't necessarily have to be literally on the job. But that's above my pay grade as far as figuring all that out.
But it does show you that there's a lot going on behind the scenes in building homes that are built to last, right?
Yes.
And so, and that's part of what you're doing. You're not just looking for workers. You're looking for skilled workers, right, Jeff?
Absolutely. You want to have the skilled workers so that you can build a product that's going to be lasting. And that's one of the things we work hard at, every day.
And Doug?
So on the commercial side, when you think about building schools and hospitals and office buildings and so forth, general contractors typically have long-term relationships with their subcontractors, electrical subcontractors included. So those relationships will not change whatsoever. And by the way, if you're interested in a career as an electrician in Texas, you can earn an annual salary of about $67,000 a year plus benefits. So the more electricians, the better.
Yeah. But to get into that program, are schools doing the work, or is this something that, I'm going to pick up some skills going to school?
Well, there are several different avenues. As you probably know, there's a great high school in San Antonio, Earl Warren High School, and they have a construction careers academy, and they're doing a fabulous job. At the higher level, UTSA, they have a construction science and management program that is graduating a lot of great folks who are going right into the industry. And about 20% of those, interestingly, coming out of UTSA are women, and about 56% are Hispanic. So when we think on the commercial side about workforce development, we think about diversity and inclusion, and we think about doing a better job of outreach, because the more people we can get interested in being an electrician or a plumber or a carpenter or an iron worker, the better off for all of us.
Those are good jobs.
Those are great jobs. I mentioned the electrician. What I should have said is the plumber. Plumbers make about $59 or $60 plus benefits. And that can be early in your career, and in no time at all, you can own your own plumbing company.
So I got an email, a Facebook comment from Rita. It's only going to get worse if you don't invest more in technical training for students and stop selling the lie that college is for everyone. Jeff, can you talk about that, about your experience working with schools, getting them to do that training?
Well, I think Rita's exactly right. College isn't for everyone, and working with schools and the Builder Association, the Greater San Antonio Builder Association, has worked with Warren High School, St. Philip's University, as well as UTSA, and all three have a great program, but we really need more. We need more than just one high school. I don't know how many high schools in Texas are in San Antonio or in Texas, but there certainly should be more than just Warren in San Antonio for working with that.
And so, but there are also things like concrete workers, sheet wall hanging, carpentry. There's a whole set of folks that we need to do these jobs. Any a breakdown in any one of those areas is going to hold up a project.
That's right. That's exactly right. And that's why we have been a longtime proponent of more CTE, or construction technical, career technical education. And I think over time we've seen some improvements, and we need to keep the foot on the gas pedal and continue to promote more CTE. And Jeff mentioned St. Philip's. By the way, I think they're doing a great job, and I think they're thinking about expanding their program. And as it relates to the Construction Careers Academy at Earl Warren High School, we need about 10 of those.
What but we unskilled workers, as you need those too, right?
They play an important role, and they are always part of a construction project. Whether you're a laborer or an electrician, a carpenter, a painter, a project manager, estimator, you're all part of an important team.
But you need people to unload the lumber off the trucks.
You need drivers, absolutely. And all of these jobs are paying really well, by the way. And in many cases, you can go right from high school into the workforce or go from high school into a two-year program. On the website that I mentioned, the Texas Construction Careers website, there's a whole list of places where you can get training in San Antonio.
All right, we're going to be talking more about the construction industry, our labor shortage, where are all the workers? Is it that some people just don't want to get outside and do the heavy lifting that's required to do this work? Maybe some people just missed that sign that says, go here if you want this job, and maybe we can make that connection for them now. But this is certainly a hitch in our get-along in trying to move San Antonio and our economy forward. It's become a drag. So what can we do to move things forward? The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The source continues right after this quick break.
Immigration.
I think we need to all get in before the wall goes up.
Health.
The Promotora, they have all the resources that can get them the help that they need.
Art.
There's this kind of subversiveness to it, right?
We cover all these topics and more on Fronteras as we examine issues along the border and beyond. I'm Norma Martinez. Download Fronteras where you find your favorite podcasts.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The Bureau of Labor Statistics says that job openings and labor turnover study shows that nearly 200,000 unfilled construction industry jobs are available nationwide. This gap between available positions and skilled workers ready to fill them puts an additional pressure on developers, contractors, and owners, and it is a drag on the overall economy. We're talking about where are these jobs? Why can't we find people to take them? The construction industry labor shortage. The number is 210-614-8980 to join our conversation. And let's go to, I got another email here, and email from David on Facebook. Companies don't want to pay. They fire the ones that come up for raises, and then they just hire new bodies. At least for San Antonio, they ran out of people who don't want to work for them. So let's go to Jeff Buell, with the president of the Greater San Antonio Builders Association. Is it because of the pay?
I think companies will pay the people that are getting the job done. They're not gonna not let them work for them just because if they're doing a good job, they're gonna pay them. And then in this economy with the unemployment rate where it's at, you either pay or you don't play. Just like Doug was saying earlier, people are passing on jobs that are profitable jobs that they could be doing. It's because they don't have the number of people that they need.
Are the people that we're looking for, are they going to sign on with a subcontractor and basically work for them, and then there's a contractor that's doing the overall project? And if they have an issue with being paid, it's generally with the subcontractors?
Typically, yes. For instance, in our home building operation, we sub out 100% of the work. We don't have any laborers or people that work directly for our company that are working. It's all subcontractor driven.
And the subcontractors, they find their laborers how, generally?
Different ways, depending on the type of work. They'll go to job fairs, or they'll find people that are needing the work through a friend, or that sort of thing. But they'll find the workers.
And how important is their track record in being able to get the job done, hit the goals that need to be accomplished, be able to do it correctly, and also pay their people well. You know, it's all part of the package, right?
Absolutely. And it is important for them to get the jobs done correctly and to pay their people well. We're fortunate in having years and years of experience here in San Antonio and relationships with contractors. And so that's very helpful. But to the point we were speaking of earlier of people getting into the construction industry, what a great place to start where you can literally, in a few years, you could start your own company. You could go from working for someone, learning the ropes, to now owning your own company. And that's why it's such a really an interesting thing for people to think about.
And job performance, that's the main thing. If you're able to deliver, then you're able to find work.
Absolutely.
Let me go to the phones. This is Eric. Hey, Eric, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, David. Great topic today. I'm interested in people that have troubled backgrounds, for example, nonviolent felons and the like. How would they... Wouldn't it be optimal to include them and, you know, try to get them into this industry?
Eric, thank you for the call. So there are people who with criminal records. Is that a problem, keeping people from this work? I've heard about people in the construction industry actually recruiting at prisons because they need workers.
I think it's safe to say on the commercial side that many companies have a policy of second chances. And if they have the skills and can show up on time and perform, they'll do well.
Yeah, I've always said that nothing stops a bullet like a gun, like a job.
Exactly.
You know, you give people a second chance, you include them into the economy, and things change. And so with this labor shortage, there are opportunities for people who may have thought that they were excluded.
That's right. And for your caller and those others that may be interested, there are groups in town that do a lot of good training work, whether it's the plumbing and heating cooling contractors or the independent electrical contractors or the associated builders and contractors. They all have very good training programs, and I think they're open to anybody who's interested in a good, profitable career in construction.
Let's go to Joe on the phones. Hey, Joe, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you. I had a comment about, labor unions. I have experience in my family where both my brother and father joined electrical labor unions up in the Midwest. And not only did they learn a trade through the union, and they were paid to learn a trade through the union, they also had a great career that paid them well, gave them benefits, and they retired at a decent age. Well, my brother still works, actually, but my dad retired at a decent age. That's why I just asked the question about labor unions in Texas and San Antonio in particular and what they're doing to help this labor shortage.
All right, Joe, thank you for that. Texas is a right-to-work state. It's just a fact. And so how do labor unions fold into this, Jeff Buell?
If any labor union has a training program like you speak of, which I'm certain that they do, absolutely. That's a great way to get into the workforce.
We have unions. We have a plumbers union here in town, and that's and you know if they're a member of that union that they know their stuff.
I would think so, yes.
And anything to add to
that? So here, at AGC, we have union and non-union companies. And all of the union training programs that are in place now are very good. And they play a vital role in addressing the overall workforce shortage.
All right, another caller, Audrey. Audrey, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. So I have a question about the demand for non-labor jobs. Is it mainly labor or is it administrative? I have a degree in finance, and I was a caretaker for my mom just up until a year ago before she passed away. So I'm wanting to get back into the finance career that I had. I have a degree in finance, and I worked in construction at a bank, and I primarily specialize in commercial construction as well as residential. So I work with a lot of builders like Siderley. And is there a demand on that side, or are you primarily talking only demand for laborers?
So Doug McMurray, Executive Vice President of the San Antonio Chapter of the Associated General Contractors.
Yeah, so no, you're needed. We want you. There's a group in town, by the way, called CFMA, which is the Construction Financial Management Association. It sounds like your skills and background would be very valuable. So I would encourage you to get in touch with them or contact us at AGC. We'd be happy to find you a great job in the construction industry.
And you could do things like what? Manage payroll?
Just like with any large company, there's a lot of finance involved. It's payroll. All the features of HR, job costing, project management has a financial piece that's very important.
All right. Another caller. This is David. Hi, David. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon. I let my license go, and I became a licensed contractor again. And talking about a background check, I had to go through a police background check, FBI background check, and once that all came in, I was able to get my license. And I want to tell you where the skilled labor is at right now. They're out here doing these houses that are being bought up like crazy, and they're doing the updates, and they're doing countertops, and they're doing small plumbing repairs, and they're taping and floating, shooting acoustic and texture, and doing roofs, and that's why the industry is hard right now to find good skilled laborers. They're on their own, and they're working for me, and sometimes I lose contact of my subcontractors for a lack of not paying attention to other skills, and I've got other jobs going on where I don't need them, and they take off. So. I just wanted to throw that in there.
All right, David, thank you for that. So we are seeing a lot of remodels and almost like stripped down to the studs and houses and rebuilding them in some of our neighborhoods are being redone. That's also demands labor. And is that something that you were competing against, Jeff Buell?
Absolutely. There's a whole lot of remodels going on. You know, everybody says, well, let's live inside the loop. That sort of thing. And so that's where you're going to find, you know, depending on which loop you're talking about, of course, but remodeling industry is strong here, and there's a lot of opportunities in that industry to work as well.
Yeah, so when you are with Sitterly Homes, y'all are doing big projects, right? Like neighborhood building or how?
We typically build in neighborhoods, but we also have a build on your lot program. So we'll go into larger subdivisions and build a section of homes in those subdivisions.
But when you build like a subdivision at one stroke, you're able to do a lot of cost savings, and that's why we see home values in those areas. Those are good home values.
They're very good home values, and we have some efficiencies of scale for sure. So we build plans, and we'll build them over and over again so we can work through some of the, you know, make sure there's not waste and that sort of thing in each floor plan.
But when you build like on an individual lot in the city, there's a lot more, it's harder to, the margins are tighter, or how does that work?
The margins are tighter. There's difficulty in making sure you have the right restrictions in place. In other words, what are they? Whereas in a new subdivision, it's a lot easier to know what the restrictions are versus going into an older part of town and finding a lot somewhere and making sure that you're complying with what that area has in place.
And so they say that when you like a company like Sitterly Homes, you're building homes, you've got to watch your bottom line, that the homes are generally like how much?
We average $550,000 in price, so we're on the upper end of pricing. And you've seen a loss in of homes being built that are $150,000 or $200,000. $200,000 is kind of the new floor. It used to be $150,000 here in San Antonio, and it's migrated up to $200,000, primarily because of land cost and then your impact fees and things of that nature. So.
Right. So we'll talk more about those costs. What is this doing to affordable housing? We're always talking about affordable housing. It would be great to get the view of what does it take to build that housing? Why does it cost so much? And, you know, this is a reality of being able to provide a shelter for our folks. The number to call in if you want to join our conversation is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The Source continues right after this break. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the labor shortage that we're seeing right now in the economy and the impact on the construction industry. The number to call in is 210-614-8980. Doug McMurray, Executive VP of the San Antonio Chapter of Associated General Contractors. As we talk about this labor shortage and this really low unemployment number that we have locally, which is, 2.6% in San Antonio, we have immigration is also an issue, and people are wondering, you know, there are people that want to work, but they don't have work status. How does that?
You're right. Well, I think immigration reform plays a role. It's part of the overall workforce development puzzle. And we have been an advocate for immigration reform that prioritizes skilled labor. In a similar fashion, we are in favor of increasing the number of guest worker visas for people who can work in construction on a temporary basis. We think that is a small but very important piece of addressing the labor shortage crisis.
Now, some people may think that there is a gray area in the construction world that allows for undocumented workers to work.
I'm sure they do. I can tell you, and I'm sure Jeff would have similar thoughts. It's a pretty rigorous hiring process. It's highly regulated. And on the commercial side, contractors, subcontractors, suppliers, service providers even are very careful about who they hire. They want the best talent available. And they go to extraordinary lengths to make sure that all of the documentation is in place.
But there are some jobs, like putting up roofs, you know, putting up those shingles and things. That's grueling, hard work. Finding people to do that work is not easy. And then there, you might have some people who show up who don't have the papers and who are willing to do it. And somehow they're able to get paid doing that work.
I think you'd be hard-pressed to find one of those people on a commercial construction site in San Antonio, Texas.
All right. Let's go back to the phone lines. And this is Joel. And Joel, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Good afternoon. Mine is a three-part question.
Okay.
First, is the demand equal for a high-voltage electrician as a electrician? And if so, what are the educational requirements for that? And what is the, if so, what is the job opportunities look like in San Antonio? I'll take my intro here. Thank you.
Okay, high voltage electrician versus, I guess, a regular voltage.
A low voltage. So there's a demand for both. And I would just direct the caller to the Texas Construction Careers website, and he can go to the training providers and get a better feel for who's providing the training, whether it's union, non-union. But there's a high demand for all kinds of electricians in San Antonio and throughout Texas.
Let's go to Paul on the phones. Paul, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hey.
Paul.
All right, Paul, you there?
Yes.
All right, sir, go ahead.
I actually teach in prison, and the state has a fantastic program for Construction Core Fundamentals. I teach that. I teach fiber optics. I teach low-voltage cabling. And I have guys, men in prison, that get jobs before they even get out. They get headhunters calling them because we get them on websites to give them jobs.
So. All right, so that seems to be, you know, working for these guys. They come out of prison, they want to get back into life, and now there's a way to do that. So that seems good. I want to go back to a point that we had earlier, Jeff Buell, with the Siddeley Homes co-owner and the president of the Greater San Antonio Builders Association about these building homes, building in the being a developer in San Antonio, and we have things like fees, and we want homes built to be green and all this other stuff. What does that mean for the cost?
Well, certainly the cost is the biggest issue for almost everyone. And being green comes with a cost. It takes green to be green. And so we have to decide what as a city is important. If you built a home by the code book and followed every single code in the code book, nobody'd be able to afford it. So for instance, windstorm on the coast is much more important than windstorm in San Antonio. or windstorm in Oklahoma is obviously, as of late, more important than windstorm in the hill country. So you have to kind of pick and choose the codes that are important for your area.
And are people think, as we talk about affordable housing and keeping places, you know, within the average San Antonio pay, not everyone can afford a $300,000 home or $500,000 home like you build. You know, how do we, from your expertise, what do you think we ought to be doing?
Well, there needs to be some work done on trying to figure out how the initial cost of building a home can be mediated with maybe the ongoing cost of living in a home. For instance, the impact fee of tying in a water line or a sewer line to the house has grown exponentially. It used to be a couple $1,000 a house, and now it's $15,000 a house. And so is there a better way of doing it? Is there a better way of financing that infrastructure? And the city would need to do some homework on this and working with SAWS and CPS on ways that could be done. And then the cost could then be carried forward in user, you know, how much water did you use, and maybe paying a little higher rate versus the impact of initial construction.
Right, but the thinking had been like, well, these people are moving into these neighborhoods, let them pay for the hookup fees and the impact fees, and now we're seeing that's making homes out of reach for a lot of people.
Sure, because for every $1,000 that you increase the home price, you take 22,000 people out of the home buying market. So you have to kind of have a cost-benefit analysis here on how do we get people in homes so that we can have more jobs and continue that story.
And Doug McMurray, with the Association of Associated General Contractors, what do you think we ought to be doing about building affordable housing?
I wish we had more land. I think there's a role for infill to play, although the economies of scale, as you pointed out, are different. But, you know, I'm so much focused on grocery stores and sports stadiums and hospitals and so forth that I don't spend a lot of time thinking about affordable housing. I think it's a serious issue. I think the mayor and his task force are addressing it thoroughly. But on the commercial side, we're focused on getting as many people into the workforce as we can. And when we're successful, that helps lower the cost of commercial projects.
And also increases salaries so people can...
Absolutely. And salaries are on the rise in the commercial side of the construction industry.
I'm going to go back to the phones with Liz. Hi, Liz. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I work with adult ed. I'm sorry, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you sound great.
Okay, great. So I work with adult education, not just in the San Antonio, but also in the surrounding counties. And we are being required by the state to start integrating. Well, some has already begun, but now it's really becoming a priority within our group to integrate construction or high demand careers in the classroom for our adult education students. And we're ranging from over 8,000 students that we have in its entirety. And so even today we're doing an externship where we're visiting manufacturing and whatnot, and industry and construction, so the teachers can get a better idea of how to start incorporating construction in the classroom. With the adult ed, they also teach ESL, language English as for second language learners, for those that do not speak English. And we work alongside contractors or construction, and we go to their facility and we teach classes in their place of business. And then with that, there's also citizenship classes, so that we can help them test for that citizenship test. As well as then push them possibly through the GED process, where they now call it an HSC, high school equivalency. And then that way it is, they're getting a twofer. One, they're already getting this curriculum in the classroom. But I'm wondering, sorry for all that said, my question is I'm wondering how much the in-demand construction or transportation, logistics, distribution, warehouse, how much they know that they can tap on the shoulder of adult ed in their local community, and they can form a collaboration between the two to start supporting our community and getting their learning early on and then getting them employed right then thereafter.
All right, Liz, there's a lot there. So let's go to Jeff Buell, Greater San Antonio Builders Association. So adult ed being as a feeder into your labor issues.
Having it as a feeder into our labor issues?
Or being able to find some way to connect with them.
Sure. I think that Liz, if you get in touch with the Greater San Antonio Builders Association, give them a call over there, and we could sit down and figure out how best to handle that. Absolutely.
Doug McMurray, there's also the issue of if you can't find the work, maybe there's some technological solutions that can be used to try to shore that up.
So the economy and the growth of San Antonio, in fact, all throughout Texas, has forced contractors to be more efficient and adopt new technologies. One of the things that we're going to be seeing a lot more of is prefabrication or modular construction. It's not new. In fact, if you think back to the old Hilton Hotel that Zachary Construction did prior to Hemisphere, that hotel was built off-site, loaded on trucks, and then stacked up and reconstructed on the Riverwalk. That was very efficient. It saved a lot of time and saved a lot of labor. I think we're going to be seeing increasingly in the months and years ahead more prefab or off-site modular construction. There are a number of educational programs that are also making the commercial construction industry more efficient. Lean education, building information modeling. As with any part of the economy, technology advances. The construction industry is no different. And it's very exciting to see some of the graduates of UTSA come out of the construction science and management program with skills and knowledge about lean, prefab, and BIM.
Sure, but factory-built homes have problems in and themselves. They tend have not stood up as long as other homes that have been built on site. I mean, yes or no, Jeff?
Yes, okay. But components of the homes are other parts that are modular, and so that's exciting for
yeah,
well.
That is, and it's an exciting area that's being developed now, and people are pushing for that as a solution for affordable housing. We're out of time. A lot of great stuff to talk about. I want to thank both of our guests, Doug McMurray with the San Antonio Chapter of Associated General Contractors, and Jeff Buell. He's the president of the Greater San Antonio Builders Association and co-owner of Sederly Homes. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks so much for joining us.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, direction provided by News Director Dan Katz, technical assistance provided by Ruben Garcia. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.